Dear Shooter, when is too much security too much, and is that even a thing? Wyoming is freaking out over security needs at the new nuclear plant going in. And is SIG getting too big for their britches? Lawsuits are starting, and SIG is pushing back. Bold or stupid?
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip on. It's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
That must be Thursday, and wow, I think the world has collectively lost their minds.
Well, the common sense has left the discussion.
Well, I think that happened during, what, COVID? Never,
yes.
And it never came back to work.
Yes.
So, Wyoming is getting a nuclear facility.
Uh-huh. A mini nuclear facility. That's pretty new, right?
Yeah, it's actually kind of a cool thing. I've looked at it. Very small, very compact, but very powerful.
Produces the same as the big boys do.
Uh-huh.
Less footprint. I mean, this is a great thing.
I think it is, but you're talking about a nuclear facility, and it needs to be protected.
Absolutely correct.
And people are losing their collective minds because the company, TerraPower, has gone to the state of Wyoming and asked for protections for its security force. Basically like a qualified immunity that police officers have. That if they have to employ lethal force during the course of their duties, that they're protected from civil action.
So every sensitive power grid national security center in this country, the states that they reside in, have similar verbiage for that private security force, so they wouldn't do the job.
Right. Well, and a lot of them, too, they'll use active duty police and police officers, sheriff's deputies that will go and work as part of the security force. The problem is, and, you know, it's Lincoln County, Wyoming. I think there might be 10,000 people in the whole county. They don't have the resources to do that. So they've got to bring in private security.
But we're talking about a specialized facility.
You are.
And has its own specific set of security needs.
That's right.
And with that comes special training for the security force that has to reside on site.
Mm-hmm.
The second they step off property, those immunities things they're asking for don't exist.
Exactly. And I don't think people understand that part.
Well, that's easy to clear up.
You would think.
Let's get Grover from Sesame Street. Near.
I
far. I mean, this is not hard to figure out.
No, it's not. And I think people are going nuts over this without understanding the issue. And I don't know if part of it is, you know, because of the indoctrination that we've had over the past, what, 5-6 years now of, you know, the police are bad and, you know.
Well, I'm not sure our law enforcement has the type of training. This sounds
not.
More to me.
Not even close.
Like a military level security, because you don't want a terrorist getting into your nuclear plant.
This is a contracting security detail that is a custom and home in a hot zone like Libya. The folks that did the security detail for the CIA, right? They were trained for this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a terroristic incursion, and that's what you would be protecting the nuclear facility from.
Well, and that's just it. And you have to understand, you got to think about this. Anybody looking to do anything nefarious at a nuclear facility is looking to do something really bad.
Yeah, they're not stealing cash out of a cash register, y'all.
No.
I mean, worst case scenario, they leave a crater in the western United States. Best case scenario, they create a dirty bomb that basically makes everybody sick in the country.
Right.
So this needs to be protected and that type of activity stopped. They're not going there to have a picnic.
No. No, and the one of the arguments that I've heard is, well, they're going to use lethal force against protesters. Well, okay, fine. You can go protest the nuclear plant all you want, but you're only going to get so close.
From across the street.
Yeah.
You step on the property, you're taking your chances.
Right.
And signs will dictate exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
You are trespassing.
Well, and it's not like you can just walk up to this place either. It's a nuclear facility. You're going to have probably several layers of fences just leading up to it.
Yeah, you'll have drive-up obstacle zones. Mm-hmm. You're going to have roving patrols on the perimeter. You're going to have Overwatch watching those roving patrols on the perimeter. I mean, it's layers on layers and layers and heavy communications.
Right. Well, let's talk about that for a second. They're upset because this security force is going to be greater than all of the law enforcement in Lincoln County. Well, it kind of has to be. If you think about the force it's going to take, the amount of manpower it's going to take to secure a facility like this 24/7, 365, that's a lot of people. You're probably talking three shifts.
Minimum three shifts.
So, and what are we talking? 10, 15 guys per shift?
Depends on the size of the acreage the facility's on. It depends on the structural controls they put to secure the facility. I mean, a guy sitting behind a whole bunch of TV monitors watching cameras is not going to cut it.
Right.
Well, let's face it. How hard is it to outnumber their law enforcement?
Not very.
But the law enforcement have other duties as assigned on the civilian populace.
Well, they do, but that's what I'm saying. They're saying, well, that's going to outnumber our force. Well, duh. And you have what, 10?
Let's say, even if it was equal apples to apples, those dudes behind the fence at the nuclear facility are not the same cat. They're not a sheriff deputy that goes home every night. These guys, they have one job. And they're wound pretty tight.
And where are they going to get these people? I mean,
so it's a private security company.
We've been bringing these people home from the sandbox for a decade.
They're going to force these people to move to Kimmerer, Wyoming.
Well, they're going to pay them well enough to be there. I guarantee it. There'll be no forcing.
They are. And this is it's TerraPower Nuclear Security. They have their own security team. And they're held to the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission standards. Now, we have federal standards for this. And that's the other thing we've got to talk about, too. This isn't a state facility. This isn't a local facility. When it's nuclear, it becomes federal.
Well, the power's not for Kimmerer.
No. Oh, no. We're shipping it to California.
We are shipping it interstate.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a federal resource anyway.
Well, and when it's nuclear, it's a federal asset anyway because of the safety concerns.
Correct. That just keeping control of the materials that make the facility work.
Right. And this stuff is like highly enriched uranium. This isn't your normal, what we would use in like the nuclear facilities we think of with the great big towers, right? They use a lower grade uranium than what goes into this, which is why this is able to produce so much power with so little footprint.
Yeah, so typically the facility uses U-308,
mm-hmm.
And it's compressed into rods.
Right.
The nature of radioactive of it, what it does is it goes into water and creates steam.
Mm-hmm.
Steam moves a turbine makes electricity. That's mm-hmm. what this thing does.
Yep.
And the newer design, the smaller compact design, needs a little higher grade
mm-hmm.
version of it, which is closer yet to that plutonium stage.
Right. It's almost it's becoming weapons grade.
Which wouldn't be too much hard to enrich further for a motivated individual and then cause the world all kinds of problems.
Right.
I.e. federal security needs.
Right. And I don't see an issue using private security for this. I think that's the smart play. But it, what everybody's up in arms about is we want to make sure that if and here's why they want to do it, right? So they want to give these guys qualified immunity on the job. Basically, if they have to do something, if they have to get nasty during the course of their job and somebody dies, the family or whoever cannot come after them civilly. This is the same protection that we give our law enforcement. And I don't see that as a problem.
I really don't either.
But here's why it's important. If you don't have those protections for those people, they're going to hesitate in doing their duty.
If you got somebody that hesitates in doing this job, they're the wrong guy for the job.
That's right.
But you're not giving them the tools they need to be able to be effective.
Right.
And you're right. That hesitation can't happen. I mean, cannot.
No, and we see it all too often in law enforcement.
Well, and way back in the day when I first started out, I sold red dots to a nuclear facility for their security force. And it was a very specific question that came across one day. They wanted 15 red dot sites to outfit 50 BMGs, and they wanted to know if mine was rated for it. I'd never shot a red dot sight on a 50 before, and I couldn't, at that point, fathom the idea as to why they wanted it. So I questioned. Yes, they do hold that recoil, and if they don't, I'll replace them, but why do you want a red dot on a 50?
Well, because they're only shooting 50 yards, but right. They have to, there is anti-material. They got a truck coming down,
exactly,
bearing down on them. They need to take out an engine block.
This is what I learned, and I'm like, well, I guess that makes sense. Iron sights would be just fine, but if you want a red dot, sure. I sent them 15 of them. I never heard from them again. They worked just fine.
That's awesome.
I don't know that they ever even had to shoot the 50s, which, again, is fantastic.
Right.
But this is a different animal. This is not your sheriff, deputy, civilian patrolling force.
No.
And they have a very specific job. And it's the facility above the personnel at the facility. Got to let that sink in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
They are not there to protect the people.
No.
They're there to keep the stuff from being stolen.
That's right.
Or damaged to a point where there's a meltdown. That's their job. Which means they're going to shoot first and sort it out later.
Right.
By policy.
Right. And as it should be. At a facility like that, you cannot afford to ask the questions first.
And it is the company's job to clearly mark the facility,
yep,
in a regulated buffer zone to where a mile or two before you get to the facility, you understand you're approaching something that's highly sensitive.
Right.
And they do it in multiple languages. I'm not being real funny.
Oh, no, I mean, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen it.
Signs in Chinese, mm-hmm, and Arabic. I've seen them in German and English,
yep,
all on the same piece of metal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no mistaking the fact that you couldn't understand where you're at.
No, and notice, you know, other than English, they tend to use the languages of the people that we suspect might try and do something bad.
Correct. That's on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just got done in the sandbox. We'll probably get drugged back in once or twice, but Arabic's a thing. You have to put it on the sign.
Oh, I think we're smarter than that now. We just bomb them from here.
I wish we'd have been that smart in the beginning. I
mean, phone it in.
I think there may be a handful of folks that really are uncomfortable with a nuclear facility in their backyard anyway.
I mean, I have my concerns because I understand the dangers that it poses, but I also have done my homework and I understand that when done right, and I do think this facility is done right, there's a lot of new technology that's going into it. It is a lot smaller. So should something bad happen, you know, forget about, like, the safety protocols and everything are insane for these. But even if something went catastrophic, the facility's so small that the footprint of destruction would also be small.
Well, it just part of Wyoming and part of Montana instead of everybody?
No. It probably wouldn't, you know, radioactivity probably wouldn't extend much far beyond the county with the size of this thing. However, the prevailing winds are coming straight towards us.
And just also got to remember, this is a higher enriched source. So
it is.
That kind of balances out on your footprint.
It does, but there's also you also got to look at quantity.
Agreed.
You know, you're using a tenth of what you would see in like a 3 mile island.
True. At the end of the day, the security force needs to be there. They can't be any less than tier one trained. They need to be able to coordinate with local.
And that's part of this too. They did say that they're coordinating with the sheriff's department, with the local police, because they're going to be called in response to emergencies.
Right. And if I was the law enforcement side over there, I'd be kind of excited about the fact because you know these boys are going to have to continually train.
Yes.
And you could negotiate in on their train days at the range.
Right. And I don't
bring your level of your deputies up.
Right, and I don't know what their initial training is for these guys, but I do know that they have to do 5 weeks of continual training every year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's in one block or they're doing that over the course of, you know, a couple of months.
A security force like this will do it in rotation. That way they're not left with capable people on site.
Right, right. But like I said, I don't know if you know, You get kicked out for 5 weeks to go do your training, or if you do a week and then you come back and a month later you do another week, if it's broken out like that. My guess is yes, because it's probably different aspects of training. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go to this school and then you're going to go to that school and you're, you know. But, you know, 5 weeks of training per year, that's pretty substantial.
It's more than most folks are ever required in most jobs.
Yeah, and I mean, I try to do a week a year.
How's that working out for you?
This year's been rough.
What is the last class you went to?
I went to, I guess it was Advanced Pistol and Unorthodox Shooting Positions.
I was that same class.
Uh-huh.
That was the last one I went to.
That was the last one I did, and that was a year and a half ago.
Was it that long ago already? Crap.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, and I try to get into at least one class a year, and sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. So like I said, if I was a local sheriff, I'd be excited about it because the quality of guys you're going to bring up, he's going to have opportunity to train with tier one guys.
I just think these guys are bitching because this plant's going in. Obviously, their vote didn't make it.
Right. Exactly right.
And why is keeping something secure so bad? They need something to complain about.
I think they're really worried about the immunity clause.
Yeah.
And that you're going to create a bunch of demons.
Yeah, I don't.
Their police officers have the same.
Yeah, I don't think people understand how that works. And I think a lot of it is because it hasn't been explained well to the public.
Well, and honestly, the police department, they have it. So when they're on the job, they're anywhere. In town or their county or whatever.
Right. That's right.
These guys have the immunity
inside
on the facility.
And what Tara is asking for is the state legislature to codify that into a security force on a very site-specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to them.
Yeah, and my guess is they will. I think the people, but of course, you know, I'm looking at this, and the legislature's like, well, maybe we need a task force to evaluate this, and it's like, okay, we're going to do this death by committee.
I've seen their last task force. That would be so screwed up.
Yeah, you and I both.
I am not impressed with the Wyoming legislature's task force. I'm not.
No, I have not been. You know, we've had our dealings with the legislature and their task force, and I think you said it best that, you know, smarter than a fifth grader really is a thing.
It is.
They could take this straight to a couple of the committee chairs and the governor, and it'd be done deal.
Right. And it should be. To me, this is a no-brainer. And at the end of the day, you and I have both worked private security like this. And I've been on a security force similar to this in a foreign country, in a hot zone. And I will tell you right now, and I'm sure you'll tell me the same thing, that security contractors on a whole are very, very professional.
Extremely professional. I will tell you that the jobs that I've done are not necessarily this level of tier training. I was not that guy. I did very specific jobs, but the training that we went through is not this stuff. They're going to deal with vehicles. They're going to deal with multiple engagements. It's military training.
Are
on
they
the
going to be
special forces side
dealing with airstrikes?
They might
potentially. Yes,
absolutely.
It's just saying.
I would think training against drones is going to be a huge part of what they do.
And how much is Warren Air Force Base going to be involved with these guys? I mean, it's like that.
Mine was a couple decades ago. My shit's out of date.
Yeah, mine too.
So, yeah, this is hot rod stuff, and I'm kind of excited to see it be part of the state.
I would be interested. I am seriously considering going and having a discussion with their security manager.
Sure.
Just to, you know, how do I get in on some of this training?
No, it'd be a good spot for you to start.
I think it'd be awesome. But I think we finally beat that dead horse.
It's a pretty simple topic for all of us sitting here.
So let's take a break. And when we come back, oh, SIG.
Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
When it comes to your personal security, you want the best, and your training shouldn't be an exception. WyoTac is your one stop for all of your education and training needs, covering competitive, defensive, and hunting classes, as well as medical, fieldcraft, and survival courses. With over a decade of experience and with a network of resources, WyoTac can help to meet your goals. When no one is coming, you have to rely on yourself. Make sure you know what to do when the time comes. WyoTac, empowerment through self-reliance.
So we touched on SIG a little bit last week, and now they have chosen to go on the offense.
Dumb.
I agree, and I think ultimately this is going to end up blowing up in their face.
Some dude in Argyle socks doesn't know what he's doing, and he's ruling the roost right now.
Well, yeah, they keep doubling down on this, and I think it's going to end up burying him. So what's going on now? SIG is suing the Washington State Police Academy for banning training with its 320 pistol. Now, if you remember, the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission, they had one of their officers get shot with a 320 that was holstered.
Okay, so having that experience on their facility, I think they're reacting in the proper way until it gets sorted out. And right now the FBI is looking at it, and it will get sorted out.
Well, and especially since it's not just one person. This wasn't just a fluke thing. It's happening on military bases, police departments, civilians. It's happening everywhere.
The internet has erupted with anti-320 rhetoric.
Well, and I don't think, and that's the thing, and I kind of applaud a lot of people that are jumping on this bandwagon with the 320, because their criticism is with that particular firearm, not with SIG. The problem that SIG's having is they keep doubling down on stupid. They keep saying, no, there's no problem with it, but over and over and over, we keep having instances.
So this is a clear case of I've seen with product development, that customer service and engineering are at a conflict. Whether the problem's real or not, it's perceived.
But you don't let that go public. You find several of these things happen.
Too late.
You instantly recall, offer a fix, offer a trade-in. Every company in the world knows that you fix it.
You analyze the problem, and you make a Gen 2, mm-hmm. right? And you don't have to necessarily offer a recall, but you offer a Gen 2 that has additional engineering controls put in place to mitigate this perceived issue. And I'm using that language very specifically because we're talking about a lawsuit, right? If they're suing the Washington State Police, was it?
Yep.
The academy.
The training academy.
And the claims are that they've irreparably hurt their brand and going to cause financial damages, right?
Yeah, so it...
Because ask the victims, was that, you know, financial damage, I'm sure... They had a spouse or a mother, somebody they were supporting. It goes both ways.
It does go both ways. Recently, SIG has lobbied the state in which they manufacture their firearms in to put controls in place where they can't be sued for this specific issue.
Yeah, no.
And I think that's dirty politics.
I think it is, too.
And so if they don't want to be sued over it in their home state, it's... bad form for them to reach out and sue somebody else for making a claim.
Well, it is. Well, it is in their own state, but all they're doing is they're going to smear their name all over the place, not just their state. Look at us. We're in Wyoming. We know about this lawsuit.
Yeah. Right. So we're talking about a defamation, and that's an umbrella term.
Well, it is, but they're not. The lawsuit isn't about defamation.
Oh, sure it is.
It says inappropriately and unjustifiably inflicts reputational and economic harm on Sig Sauer. The mm-hmm. plaintiff further argues the lawsuit that the organization's 320 ban runs afoul of state law and the state statute outlining the right to keep and bear arms.
Right. But it's not a brand embarrassment because it's the 320 specifically. Right. It's not all Sig pistols. No. It's just that one. You can use any other one.
Exactly right.
And so follow me here for a second. Defamation is the term. It's an umbrella term for this type of infraction against a company or a person, right?
Right.
That's an umbrella term. It encompasses slander and libel. Now, libel is where I think they may have a case.
All right, libel, you're going to have to explain that to me.
Yep. Libel is a written or published defamatory statement. An example is it's a false claim, articles, blogs, social media posts, emails, and... since it is intentionally to pursue and make harm on the brand with discrimination, it's often presumed without needing to prove damages.
But
they don't have to show that the brand actually got damaged.
They're not discriminating against Sig.
I know.
Just that one.
But they
firearm.
Are calling their baby fat.
Well, but the thing
is,
they
did it in writing.
Yes, they did. But you have to look at the way they wrote it. What the state criminal justice said was that they identified safety concerns mm-hmm. and are taking it out of rotation until they figure things out. That's not defamation.
No. And there's hundreds of places and ranges across the country that have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gunsight to be another example.
And I think Gunsight's next on Sig's lawsuit list.
Yeah, good luck with that. They open a can of worms they don't want to step into.
Right.
But from a law standpoint, they've got a liable case. They don't have to show damages.
Well, I don't think I'd punch my own law enforcement in my own state in the eye.
Back to common sense, leaving the discussion.
Right.
They're tired of getting poked in the eye, and so they went on the offensive. It's a dumb move.
I would have started out of state and worked your way back in.
Well, from the whole thing of perception becomes reality, right? The 320 has a problem. Real or imagined, it has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You shelve the damn thing, you make a Gen 2, you fix the problem, and you go, hey guys, we heard you, here's our new Gen 2.
Well, and I'll tell you who a great example of fixing things with a Gen 2, the Smith & Wesson Easy. That when that gun first came out, the grip safety on the back strap was too low. And in order to engage that safety, you couldn't grip the gun properly. They fixed that with version 2.0. And now it's a great gun.
Let's go back a little further. Sherpa holsters. They were banned on shooting ranges and in trainers' courses damn near globally
mm-hmm.
after a few folks shot themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, The holster had nothing to do with trigger control. It was all human finger. But it put your finger in a bad position and created a circumstance that was dangerous.
But they never fixed it. They're still selling them.
I know. But they're still not allowed in ranges and
not allowed.
I don't think they sued the law enforcement in their own state, punched somebody in the eye.
No, they didn't. Well, and part of that, too. So I think that it was an issue that would have been fixed had Blackhawk stayed an American company. It has since been bought by a Chinese company, and they don't care.
Why would they? You can't sue the Chinese.
No. So that's why I believe that's why that problem's never been fixed.
I completely agree with you, but it's an example of a product being banned to direct relation of incidents happening.
Mm-hmm.
They did very good at keeping themselves. I mean, they were in the media, but not like this is. And I think it's because SIG keeps pushing back.
They just
didn't push. They just sold to China where you can't be sued and continued on and just went.
Yeah. And I think Blackhawk had already been sold to China when all those issues with the Serpa holster started coming to light. And like I said, the Chinese company, they don't care.
Why would they?
So,
but even with SIG, there are better ways to take care of business than stomping your feet and seeing if you can yell louder than everybody else.
And that's exactly that's the picture I have of SIG management right now. Is they're stomping their feet, getting red in the face, and having a 3-year-old temper tantrum because somebody said their toy sucks.
Well, we're talking not about a gun anymore. We're talking about how a professional outfit like SIG conducts themselves.
That's exactly it. And I think that's what's going to end up burying them.
That's what's going to bury them. It's not this firearm. They could have done, like you said, the Gen 2. They could have made a fix. They could have... You don't come out and start calling everybody who had issues, especially if it's law enforcement and the military, and punch them in the eye because that's not helping you.
And the training facility, being an independent agency from SIG, has the ability to say, we don't want whatever we don't want on our range.
That's right.
None of that impacts the Second Amendment in any way, shape, or form.
Everybody has that right.
That's correct.
I can tell you I don't want a blue gun on my range.
That's right. You can.
Well, that screws you.
Except for me.
Right. The whole thing about that type of level of prohibition, if you will, is if it was global and in autonomous about pistols,
mm-hmm.
that would be a different discussion. That
right.
would be a Second Amendment issue.
Right.
This is a single model of a single brand.
Mm-hmm.
The 229's not banned.
No.
And they're not excluding SIG.
Right.
Just the 320.
The 365's not banned.
No.
No.
In all of its iterations.
Right. In fact, I just taught a class over the weekend. One of my students has a 320. And she put it in a box. She's scared to shoot it because she's seen all of this stuff. And she's like, until they get this sorted out, it's going to go stay in a box. She came out with a 365. Great.
Most of us have other choices.
Right.
And that's where SIG's coming a little bit of a disconnect from their market.
Right.
There are other choices. It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. And if you don't want a 320... no one can force you to have a 320.
No.
Well, and whether it's a real issue or not, a new gun owner who's heard the media, seen the Facebook post, yada, 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 they're not going to buy a 320 just because
reviews
are not good.
They don't want to take the risk. And you're exactly right. Whether there really is a problem or not, there's a perception.
Correct.
And perception is reality.
Always. Especially with the consumer. Especially with the consumer.
So, I don't know. I'm
honestly thinking about going and picking one up as a collector's piece. Be honest with you.
Yeah?
Just, hey, I've got one of these. It's never been fired.
I bet you our student would sell
only
hers.
Dropped once.
No, yeah. I ran like hell.
I'd be afraid to load the damn thing.
I've never, ever, in my wildest dreams, thought a brand would double down on dumb. When it's a really simple fix.
And where is their lawyer team? Why isn't their lawyer team going, hey, you know, this is a bad idea, so let's do this instead. It'll still have the same outcome. but it won't run you through the mud. Where is this lawyer team?
They're looking at billable hours going, let's bill for this.
Then that's not a very good team on your side, is
well,
it?
Well, not advocates for your best interest, no.
No, and I know like they're worried about their military and their law enforcement contracts.
That's not helping.
But and they're sitting there going, well, you know, it's going to cost us like $8 million. Well, I know they've already paid out like $3.4 million in one lawsuit.
Yeah, it's going to add up to eight really quick.
Yeah, I mean,
the math doesn't work no matter how much you shake it.
No, so
it's way more cost effective to take the ones you have in stock now, pull them apart, put Gen 2 parts in them, fix the problems, and move on about your day with a media push of, we heard you, here's Gen 2.
Right.
Well, an offer to fix the ones you've already sold. It's going to cost you some money, but in the long run, that's still going to be cheaper than... I mean, the lawsuits have just started. How many are out there, y'all?
In the meantime, they are taking a flamethrower and burning their consumer base.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'm sorry to sit there and I'm going to go sue a state law enforcement agency when my product is under investigation from the FBI. And this is not Biden's FBI.
What's next? Air Force War Command?
Probably.
I mean, this is where it really got hot, when that airman shot him when he set it on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
That's when this got hot. Take on the Air Force and see how that plays for you.
Right. Right. Well, because that's going to, if that goes south, they're going to lose every military contract they've got.
That's a company killer.
Huh?
Not just a 320 killer.
It is, but I don't know. All of this is solvable, and I don't know why they won't do it.
They're getting bad legal advice. They're getting bad business advice. And the shareholders at SIG should be mad as hell.
I looked today. SIG's not publicly traded.
Yeah, they've got a board and somebody family-wise has shares.
Yeah, because I was like, man, I want a short SIG today. But I couldn't do it.
It just seems like somebody new is running this thing. Because they've been in business for years and years and years. And things do happen on a manufacturer's line. And what, some new kid come out of college and started running it? I mean, what happened?
I think they got emotionally attached to something that turned out to be kind of a turd. And they can't back off it now for ego.
Let me guess, the head engineer is also the CEO.
That could happen.
That's possible. And I'm curious. I wonder if some of the fallout from this is the next time there's a military contract or a police contract or whatever. I'm curious as to whether or not SIG will be allowed to play if they survive this.
They may get the blackball list, and that might be what they're trying to fight.
I mean, that could be.
But that's not the way to do it.
No. No, I mean, my head's a lot harder than my hands, and I guarantee you, if I fought everybody with my face, I'd lose. That's what they're doing here.
You might be better looking at the end of it.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you're getting up there. It'll flatten you out a little bit.
He doubles down on it.
Way to go, Sig.
I'm playing Sig here.
Crotto Sig Jones.
Great. That's going to stick. But no, I'm at a loss because I'm watching this go on, and I keep watching SIG double down instead of being the good customer service, the good company, like the trusted company that we've known for decades. I mean, I carried a 229 for almost 6 years. It was my duty gun.
I carry a 365 today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't understand it. I don't.
I don't either. You know, I have a couple SIGs in my safe, and I love them. But then again, they're the old school when SIG meant, you know, the best of the best.
That's right. I don't know. If they stay this course, they're not going to be able to recover from it.
I don't think they will. And I remember, you know, when we were at NRA, all of this stuff was just kind of starting to make the rounds. This was late April. And I walked over to the SIG booth, and I just asked him. I said, hey, I'm hearing all this stuff. What's going on? And the guy at SIG got hostile and nasty with me. So it's not just corporate.
You asked an honest question in a humble form, and he became aggressive.
Yeah.
That's a problem, company-wide.
And you know, my thing is, you know, look, I have a lot of students that show up with 320s. And, you know, I just asked, I said, you know, is there some kind of a safety issue going on that I need to be aware of? So when I have a student show up, you know, is there something that I can do for that student to make sure that that firearm is safe?
Well,
and I got nasty.
Yeah, that's so wrong. I spent the first part of this week inside the Umarex factory, and there's a lot of Walther firearms being made there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the meeting, the question came up, what's your opinion on the 320 business? And the CEO over there at Umarex that builds a lot of Walther firearms,
love Walther.
He says, it's an unfortunate business that I'm not going to comment on. At Walther, we're not going to disparage our competition. We do think that they may have lost some judgment here. And he walked away from the conversation. What a wonderful integrity way to answer that question. It was calm. He was happy to say it. There was no aggression in it whatsoever. He had an opinion, but he reserved it to himself, which is the professional way to do
it. As I say, very professional.
That's right.
And, you know, I guess that's my biggest disappointment with this whole fiasco is the way SIG is handling this is probably the least professional that I've ever seen from a company, especially a company of that scale.
It will haunt you. It will totally haunt you.
So.
Jim Zumbo.
Yeah.
I mean, you say something stupid from a point of ego, and it haunts you.
It put him out of the business.
That's right.
Like and it didn't take long.
Weeks.
Yeah. Was it even that?
Because people were in dismay that he said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weeks.
Yeah. I don't know. I will say this. I hope SIG, somebody over there pulls their head out of their ass and SIG does what they need to do to make this right.
It's really pretty simple.
But I don't know. They keep going the opposite direction. So we'll see how this plays out. But I guess until next week, don't shoot your 320.
Put it away for now.
Yeah, I would put it away till this gets sorted out. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, we're blaming the gun.